Well, I got to say, it's really great to be back. I want to thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity to do some things that I needed to do. One of them was to just kind of revisit life in general. We're going to be talking about that today and understanding, you know, what it is I'm supposed to be doing and how am I going to deal with the things that life brings all of us. We're all trying to deal with life in one way or another, and I was just kind of overwhelmed by some things, and I really do appreciate the support that I got from the people that are here. And I especially want to thank my elders for stepping up and for people filling the pulpit on Sunday. I don't know how much I should share. I know that's probably, I had some counseling while I was going through all of this, and one of the things they said is, Tim, you need to kind of, don't get too close to people, and don't be too open with what's going on in your own life, because, you know, that can sometimes bite you back, and sorry, that's not me. I love you guys. Yeah, I know you do. See, that's the thing. We're a family. And as I was kind of seeking some opportunities to, pull away a little bit from the stress that's, you know, any job has, but you know, being this, trying to do that, I also found out that one of the hardest things about being gone was missing you, because I love you, and I like being with you. And so, you know, you think, well, it's great, take a vacation from your job. Well, guess what? Then you don't get to see your family. And so there was some good things about the time away, but one of the bad things about the time away was I didn't get to be with you. And I really do love you, and you are a part of my life, and I am so grateful for all of you. So anyway, one of the things that I got to do, again, I get to kind of re-examine life in general in Christianity. So what you're going to get, we're going to do a three-part topical sermon series basically on this right here. And I had this time, and here I am, Tim is a kind of a big picture guy. I have these philosophical, theological discussions with people while I was on this little break and trying to discuss the bigger aspects of life, because I recognize we all have to deal with individual circumstances in our lives, but I wanted to look, what's life in general? What's it all about? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What's this Christianity thing? God, what are you thinking? And so I got to ask people questions, and I got to have these discussions about the bigger picture. And people will say, man, is that all you ever do? Is, I don't want to talk about specific circumstances that I'm dealing with. I want to talk about the big picture. Okay. And it really brought me some peace. And so I want to share some of those things with you. I'm going to start today. I'm going to look at the bigger picture. So here it is. And I read some books, and I heard some speakers, and I some theologians. I went to some theologians and listened to some of their sermons, and looking at this issue, ask yourself, do I think about the meaning of life? Why? What's the point? Why am I here? What is it all about? It's very complicated at times. Sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes it's wonderful. What's the point, God? Why am I here? And then Christianity, you know, as you're going out into the culture and you're seeing people and they have different worldviews. We have a worldview, right? Christianity is a worldview. And you're going to say, okay, this Christianity thing, how does it fit into the bigger picture? And is it real? And can I defend it? And do I understand it? And then the Bible, is the Bible, as it seems like, the other people have their own religious writings and other religions have things that they But we're going almost exclusively to this book to get the answers to those questions. What's life about? How do we get here? How do we end up in this position? How did we find ourselves in such a mess? And then God. What do I know about God? What do you know about God? Where did you learn that? You learned it from the Bible. You know, so we count on this particular thing, and we're supposed to go to that thing called the Bible, to find the answers to all these other questions about the lives that we're living. So do we know? So here I'm gonna share this with you. I think I have the answer. If I do have the answer, I think I'm going to write a book, make millions of dollars, and retire again. I think I do. I think I have the answer. I spent some time thinking about it. Okay, so if there's an answer, do you know what it is? That would be important. Is there an answer to these questions? The meaning of life, the meaning, what's Christianity all about? What about the Bible? What about God? Where do I fit in to all of those things? Do I understand it? We're going to talk about why those things are important, why these things, these questions at the end, these three questions. Do we know it? Do we understand it? Do we live it? Okay. So I'm going to talk to you about priorities. And it's going to be answering these questions. Do we know? Do we know it? Do we understand it? And am I living it? Am I living it? Because if I really truly want God's answer to these questions, right, then I have to know those things. I have to know it and understand it. And then I have to actually live it. So hopefully that's a good introduction to what we're going to do. We're going to be talking about Matthew 22. Turn with me to your Bibles, if you will. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. What you're going to see is that, we'll get there in a second, is that this is the great commandment. How many of you have heard about the great commandment? That's the greatest. It doesn't really say that, though. It doesn't say the greatest. It says the great commandment. We're going to talk about the word, the great, and commandment. And we're going to find out what God says is and should be our number one priority in life to answer all the questions that we have and that we're trying to deal with as we live in a broken world, as we're still broken, and all of the problems that are out there and all of the circumstances that we have to deal with, and we have to say, okay, how am I supposed to deal with this? I don't understand, God. Why did the valley flood? Why did all this rain come? I don't get it. My life was already complicated enough, God, and now you close off Highway 9. I don't know. See, every morning we get up. Every single morning we get up. You're here. You decided. You decided. Okay. There's plenty of things you could do. And yet you're here. See, why? So you have to say it louder.
I needed to be
there you go. Okay. And so we make decisions based on our perception of priorities, right? I'm going to be here. I could be doing other things. Could be. I'm going to be here, and I am going to make the decision to be here because I have determined in my own mind that what I'm going to receive when I'm here is more valuable than what I might receive if I was somewhere else. Okay, everybody, every one of you, maybe consciously, subconsciously, you made a decision to get out of bed, hopefully eat, maybe not. Thankfully, you got dressed. I can see you. And you came Because look, I made a decision to say, I feel like I'm going to gain something more than if I just stayed home and watched football.
Okay.
We all do what we want. Okay, I've said this before. This is the reality. We all do what we want. And you think, well, there are circumstances like, do people in prison, are they really doing what they want? Well, they were doing what they wanted to get them in prison. I know that. And then there are these circumstances that come up and you think, I didn't really want to go out and clean the water out of my house, those people that were flooded out. I didn't really want that, but I'm going to clean up all the mud and the garbage that came into my house through the river when it flooded over. Did I want to do that? What do you think? Yes, they did. Because they said, look, I don't really want to do this, but the outcome of me doing nothing with my house means I've lost my house. And so therefore, I would rather clean it up than not. Okay, so those things happen. It isn't things we choose, but it is things, how do we respond to circumstances in our life? We are doing what we want every single time, pretty much. I've used these examples before, at least this one. The mama gets up at 3 a.m. to feed her baby who's crying. Does she really want to get up at 3 o'clock? No. But does she really want to listen to her poor baby cry and feel guilty and shamed if she just sits there and tries to go to sleep? Moms, what do you think? I mean, is really somebody there? Are the child care police saying, well, you better get out of bed. We're going to put you in jail. You better go take care of that baby. No, no, no. You are thinking, moms, my baby is crying. I love that baby. I know it's hungry. I don't really want to get up, but I'm going to do it because I'm going to feel worse not doing it than if I do it. You did what you wanted. I'm wearing my favorite shirt, but it's ugly. This is mostly dudes. Tim, I told you to throw that away, and here you are wearing it again. I know that I like it. Just don't go out in public, Carol says. I know, but I like it. Okay, I did what I wanted. Maybe it's ugly, and maybe there's people are going to think poorly of me, but guess what? I like the comfort of it better than I care about what they think, so never mind. I'm going to do what I want. Watching your favorite movie or mowing the lawn. You can say, okay, well, what do I want? Well, I want to watch the movie, but my neighbors are really complaining about how high my grass is. Okay, I don't really want to cut the grass, but I also don't want to hear from my neighbors. I know my wife is complaining about it. Okay, fine, I'm just going to go mow the lawn. Did I want to mow the lawn? Yes, I did. Because the consequences of not mowing the lawn outweighed the pleasure of sitting on my rear end and watching my favorite movie. Eating cake or vegetables? Eat carrot cake. You can get both. You're going to do it because I know I don't need the fat and I don't need the sugar, but I don't care. Because the fun of eating the cake is worse than what I am willing to accept are the consequences of doing it instead of eating the vegetables. Every morning, each one of us gets up and we decide to do something based on our priorities. I'm telling you, maybe you think, well, yeah, a lot of it subconsciously it just becomes habit. There's certain things I do. I go up and get my coffee or whatever. I'm telling you, everything you do is based on a decision you made about a priority that you have accepted is as important. And so everything gets prioritized. And some things go to the top and some things go to the bottom. And if you don't get to the bottom ones, that's okay. I'm doing the things that I feel are most important. Every morning, you do that. Every decision made during the day, You do that. Everything we do is based on our priorities. Everything. I know if you, we could go through a list and it would be, take way too long and you would go on forever. But if you took the time to evaluate why did I do a certain thing, you would find that it was based on some set of priorities that you created. Now, again, sometimes it's subconscious, sometimes it's a response you didn't see coming to an event you didn't see coming, but somewhere that response was based on a priority. My, you know, a windshield gets hit by a rock as I'm driving down the freeway. What am I going to do? I am just really mad. Am I going to respond emotionally, or am I going to say, no, I got my kids in the car. They don't really need to hear all the words I'm thinking in my brain right now. I'm going to choose to try to be a little more calm. That was a priority based on the consequences of doing it the other way, screaming and yelling and getting angry. Everything we do is based on our priorities. Here's the deal, though. How do we determine what should be most important? Y'all do. I gave you all those examples, and somewhere in there, I determined, eating the carrot cake was better than just eating the carrots. I made that decision. But somewhere in there, I would say, okay, I had to do that. But did I? Actually, here's what I did. I said, okay, forget the cake, forget the carrots. What I really want to do is go outside and play basketball. Okay, so that priority overtook the other ones, and I spent my time playing basketball outside instead of worrying about, am I going to have vegetables or a carrot cake, right? Okay. So this is how life works, folks. This is how life works. Every one of us has a priority list, and sometimes it changes with circumstances and everything, but you are determining what you think, how you behave, how you react, based on priorities that you are setting yourself. Now, sometimes the boss comes in and says, I've got a job for you to do, and it's priority number one. So, did he set my priority? No. Because I got to say, okay, well, I can either say, forget you, I'm leaving. Or no, I'm going to go ahead and do what he wants because I've decided keeping my job was more important and having an income was more important than saying, no, buddy, I don't want to do that. Right, okay, so we can think other people are setting our priorities, but our reactions to those circumstances are still our priorities. So we have to determine, how are we setting our priorities for life? And we're going to see it based on this passage. I want to share with you three things first. I know this is kind of dragging out. This is kind of the longest sermon introduction I could ever come up with. When we don't do it right, why? I got three reasons. When we don't do it right, why? Okay. When we don't set the priorities the way God would like us to, why? That's one of them. Okay. Number one, ignorance. Give you an example. I have severe arterial blockage. I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying, let's say I did. I go walking outside and drop over dead. Now, had I known that I had arterial blockage, my number one priority would have been what? Get myself to the ER and take care of that problem. But what? I didn't know. I was ignorant. Okay, so do we have problems sometimes in setting the priorities God's way because sometimes we're just ignorant? Yeah, so God, I don't know. What do you want from me? I don't know. Or what about unbelievers? Are they setting God as their number one priority? No. Why? They're ignorant. Why should that be important? I don't get it. I don't understand why. It's fine for you if you want to be a God person and all that, but I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's not important to me. I don't see that as a priority in my life because I'm ignorant of the truth. Because is it true that God needs to be the number one priority? You better believe it. It's true. It's real. But they're ignorant. Now, there are other things within the scope of what God wants us to do in priorities as believers that sometimes we're ignorant of. You know, maybe there's things in Scripture we don't understand, or maybe there's things in there that we haven't read, or maybe there's things that God is clearly telling us I should be doing, but I just don't get it, or I'm ignorant of it, or I'm looking the other way, or whatever. I'm just distracted. It happens. Second, misunderstanding. I heard it. I saw that it existed. What should have been my priority based on God's plan for my life. But like the car mechanic who tells you on your way out, saying, this Jack, you probably can relate to this one. Hey, you know what? If I were you, I'd change that oil. Well, and then you go and, you know, a couple weeks later, and your engine is just seized up. And then you go back to the mechanic, and the guy says, hey, I told you to change the oil, man. Oh, I didn't realize it was that important. You know, I kind of figured, okay, when I get around to it, I'll do that, but I didn't realize it. So sometimes we don't put the right priorities there because we don't really understand. We think it's okay, that's kind of important, but not really. Not as important as some of the other things I'm thinking about. And so we misunderstand what should be our priority based on God's plan. Because we're distracted by other things. We're focused on things that we want. That's the third one. Submitting to the desires of your flesh. Why am I not setting the correct priorities, you know? Do I really have to come on Sunday morning? Do I really, God, you know, I really like to sit there on my rear end and watch the Seahawks play football. Or do something else, you know? So sometimes we do things and we prioritize things based on the desires of our flesh, and pleasure is one of those, right? I mean, what's this priority? You know, I know I should be out cleaning out the garage, but you know what I really would like to do? I like to watch It's a Wonderful Life on TV. That gives me more pleasure. The cleaning up the garage, I know it needs to be done, and I'm sick and tired of looking at it, and everybody's tripping over stuff, but that brings me no pleasure. Ah, forget it, man. I'm just going to go watch. It's only, you know, the garage, it can wait. Are we missing the priorities of God's will and plan for our lives because we're succumbing to the desires of the flesh? Now, number four, knowing, understanding, and doing our best to keep our priorities lined up with God's plan and then living them out to the best of our ability with God's help. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So I'm going to look at myself. Tim, are you doing one of those first three, or are you doing number four? Ignorance, misunderstanding, and succumbing to the flesh, or doing it God's way. Okay, so back to this one. The meaning of life, the meaning of Christianity, the meaning of the Bible, and the meaning of God in our lives. And so what is it? What is it? What are the meanings of all? What should be my greatest priority? Where is that? Walking my thing. It says in Matthew 22. Do you think God has an answer for that? You think God has an answer for those questions that the title of the sermon? This is it. Teacher, what's the great commandment? Again, he doesn't say the greatest commandment. I'm going to talk about the words here in a second. So what's the great commandment in the law? And he says to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second one's like it, love your neighbor. We're going to talk about those things in the next couple weeks. But through 36 through 38. The second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two things, all the commandments depend in the law and the prophets. Okay, so what is God trying to tell us here? First of all, I know you have priorities, and they're asking him, is this, they're trying to trick Jesus. This is the Pharisees talking to Jesus and trying to trick him. I'm thinking about life. And the answer to the questions, what's it all about? Why am I here? Why is life hard? Why is it so complicated? How does it all work in with Christianity and the truth of Scripture and God? Okay. So like I said, I have the answer. I think I have the answer. I think I thought about this a long time. You know, the greatest priority that has ever, ever existed in the lifetimes of humanity. Now, I don't know before God created man. We're going to talk about this. This is where you got to rethink a little bit. I had to rethink. I told you a number of times, the two greatest things you can accomplish, right, in this life. So I've said it a number of times from up here. One, get saved. Two, be transformed into the image of Jesus. I still believe those things are true, but I'm missing the bigger picture. Why? 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 Here's why. There's really only one thing. Because I have to say to myself, I have the answer to those questions. I ask those questions. I believe they're true. But to what end? To what end? To what end? Well, I don't want to go to hell. Okay, to what end? Well, and I'd rather be more like Jesus. Okay, to what end? You ready for the answer? Write it down. As far as human beings are concerned, there's only two things that really matter. We were created in the image of God. Now, it all got broken and screwed up. We were created in the image of God for two things. Relationship with God and increasing intimacy. Okay, that's it. That's the answer. You can all go home. You ask yourself, what's important? I gotta pay the mortgage. I gotta have a job. I gotta eat. I gotta have clothes. I gotta have a house. There are needs in life that I gotta. But guess what? When I get up in the morning, what should I be asking myself? Well, I'm going to go to this one and I'm going to say, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Not some of it, all of it, with all your soul and with all of your mind. If I don't get out of bed every morning and say, today, God, the most important thing I can be involved with is to increase the intimacy of the relationship that I have with you. Now, I'm a believer, okay? If I'm a non-believer, I should be saying, God, what I really need today, the most important thing is this. I need relationship with you. Now, until the Holy Spirit comes and opens people's eyes, they don't understand that, or they're ignorant of it, or they would rather pursue their sinfulness than that. Okay. But God created us in his image to need him for all the needs of our soul. I've given you those things a number of times. Meaning and purpose, identity, satisfaction, love and acceptance, security and hope. Okay. Every single human being was created by God with those needs to only be met by God. And so those outside of relationship with God are seeking those things just like we do. Every single moment you are trying to meet one of those six needs. I'm guaranteeing you that. And God said, I created you in my image for relationship and intimacy, and you're going to want all those things. You're going to be searching for them everywhere except for me until I bring you into myself. And then I am going to be there to satisfy every one of those. And then we find ourselves as believers still looking around in the world to satisfy one of those needs. Because we have not accepted the fact and the reality that the most important priority in my life is gaining relationship with God and increasing the intimacy of it. Now, we're going to talk about this in the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about commandments. And see, the Bible is full of stuff that's just do this, don't do that. Okay, for you believer people, do this, don't do that. And most of the time, for the non-believers, just, man, that's just super judgmental. And why do you guys think you have all the answers? Why is it that I should have this moral value? I can determine what's right and wrong. Okay. We know that's wrong. But as believers, right? Why is it, how many of you think that walking the Christian walk is a piece of cake? No problem. Now we look at this and we think, man, God, I don't think I can live up to this standard. There's a lot of rules and there's a lot of things I'm supposed to be doing. And not only just doing and behaving, but thinking and feeling. And it's just way too hard. God, you're just dropping this huge rock on my back and I can't take it anymore. God says, no. You don't understand. I'm giving you these things. I'm giving you these things because I know intimacy with me is what you need. And I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you each other. I'm going to give you my word. And I'm going to lead you into intimacy if you will do it and make it a priority. Why did I come to church today? We could check boxes. We could say, well, you know, I'm going to feel guilty if I don't. Or, I like the societal aspects of it and the relationships and stuff. And kind of, you know. If you didn't come hoping to say, God, give me more intimacy with you today. And I've created this environment where that can happen if you take advantage of it. And if you have the proper priority. There's lots of reasons to come. If you miss the greatest one, you've lost an opportunity. So we get this, and the great commandment, great, megas, exceedingly most highest and largest, and commandment, an authoritative precept, entole, and then love, which is agapeo, And then first, right? It's the first. So you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul, heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. First does not necessarily mean timing. It means foremost, most important, first in priority, and best. See, what God is trying to tell us is, people, I am trying to help you understand what should be your greatest priority in life once you've been put back into relationship with God through the cost of my son. We're going to talk about that. How did we get this right? Because there's an eternal, right? I mean, you guys already know this. You accept Jesus Christ. You could really suck as a Christian after that, but you're still going to go to heaven. Okay. And you're going to have eternal relationship and intimacy with God. Now, we see from Scripture sometimes that, you know, maybe there are certain levels of rewards and stuff, but nonetheless, God is going to totally rebuild you, messy person, get rid of all the brokenness, get rid of all the sin, and you are going to, what's heaven? What's heaven? It's a place? No, it's a relationship with God with no barriers. That's it. It's going to be a place. Has nothing, you know, that's not the important part. The important part is we are back into intimacy with God in heaven. He's taken away all the barriers, all of them. And we think it's going to be this great place, going to have these cool things. And all. No, what we don't understand is, God, it's you and me. So that part's taken care of. But I got to live. After I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, right in this world broken, or I'm broken still, the world is evil, how am I going to grow in intimacy with God and experience some of that? So not going to be all of it until this body's done and I'm gone to the next part of my existence. But what is God trying to tell me here? I'm giving you commandments. But it isn't to burden you. I'm giving you commandments because it's opening the door of the pathway to intimacy with me right here, right now, today, with the children that I bought and paid for with the life of my son. You will not experience the level of intimacy that God has made available to you until you make it your number one priority of life. You're going to get some. God's going to intervene and give you some. But if you really, it isn't about just being obedient so I can live the Christian life. It isn't just about following all the rules so that I can be more like Jesus. It is about increasing the intimacy of the relationship with the God who made you. It requires faith. It requires sacrifice. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and also that he rewards those who seek him. See, making it a priority requires faith. Because does it make sense? From a humanistic standpoint, does it make sense to put all of the focus of my life on a God who I can't see or feel or touch? No, it doesn't. And in your selfishness that you still have being broken, does it make sense all the time to give up everything I want selfishly in the flesh? Because I'm ignorant about it or because I didn't understand, does it make any sense to be focused completely on what God wants and making him a priority without faith? No, it doesn't. So you're going to have to sacrifice yourself, right? You have to say, all these things that I want, how I see my fulfilling these soul needs, which I maybe don't even totally understand, but I'm trying to fulfill them, you know, my security. I'm trying to get a bunch of stuff put aside in money so that when bad things happen, I can take care of it because security is a big thing for me. Or, you know, I'm really trying to be loved and accepted by other people, so I'm putting together this really cool website and putting it online and social media, and I'm getting all kinds of clicks, and it's really satisfying my love and acceptance need. We try to all that garbage until you find out, guess what, God? You're the one who's supposed to be the author of all those things in my life. And am I looking for them with you or somewhere else? Why does God tell us the greatest commandment is to love him? Is it just because he's the mean God sitting up there, now look, I died for you, you better be paying attention to what I say? No. Because he loves you. Because he wants you to experience intimacy with him because it's good for you. Does God need us? No. Does God need us to worship him to feel good about himself? No. What God has done is made available an intimate relationship with him to satisfy all the needs that he created you to have. But you will miss out on it if you don't make it the number one priority of your life. Intimacy with God. It's going to take some faith. It's going to take some sacrifice. But it's going to take intentionality. I have to get up. I have to absolutely, intentionally say, today, God, not my will, but yours be done. Well, Tim, what about all the things you need to accomplish? Forget about it. Oops, oh, I thought I had one more. There it is. Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all those things, and your Heavenly Father knows you need them all. But this, what is he saying? Your first priority, Tim, should be seeking the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and I'll take care of all the rest. If you make me priority number one. Okay, so that's something I'm going to share that with you and say, look, this is going to change your world if you do it. Every single day, I'm going to say, God, my number one priority is to increase the intimacy of our relationship. And God's going to say, well, I gave you my Holy Spirit. I gave you other Christians. I gave you my word. Are you taking advantage of it? Are you making that the most important thing of your life? If you aren't, then you're not using the tools I gave you, and so poor you, don't blame me. Those are decisions that every one of us has to make every day. You know, we can make that decision, and I made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and guess what? I needed to make a decision every single moment after that. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a once-a-week thing on a Sunday. It's an everyday, every moment thing. God, you are the most important thing in my life, and intimacy with you is the most important thing I can ever accomplish. And it's for your glory and my good that you've made it available. We have to decide, people, every single day, what am I really finding important? So hopefully, you can't say now you don't know. Hopefully now you can't say you don't understand. But the battling against the desires of the flesh is going to go on and on and on. So good luck with that one. But God has given us his Holy Spirit. He says, if you live by the Spirit, I'll take away the desires of the flesh. It's a lot to think about. It's a long sermon. An enormous introduction, but I think it's a very important point, and we all have to think about it. Well, let's pray. Lord, this is a hard one. It's a big one. If we don't understand what's truly important, we're going to miss it so much of the time. Lord, I just pray that you work in our hearts and minds to give them over to you, understanding that the path to everything we need is based on this particular passage that says, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and that you'll provide all the other things. So Lord, we just thank you for making relationship with you available and making increased intimacy available. Help us to take full advantage. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who made it all possible. In Jesus' name, amen.